In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Archaeologists, it seems, almost every day are puzzled by what they find. Now, the archaeological story before us this afternoon is not of this extreme ancient variety. It's actually very, very recent, at least in archaeological standards. Stone Age artifacts found in Iron Age tombs. Now, the difference here is about 1,000 years, and so you can understand why archaeologists might be puzzled to find Stone Age artifacts in Iron Age tombs. Joining us to talk about it, Frank Sherwin. He's zoologist and speaker for the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. Frank, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
What have the archaeologists found in these Iron Age tombs, and why does it puzzle them so?
Well, I think you probably put your finger on the pulse when you said that they found an alleged Stone Age axe called the Thunderstone Mystery, as they are calling it in this article, in an Iron Age tomb. And, of course, the conundrum, because they are basing this on man's, I have to be fair, they didn't use the word evolution in the article, but I think it's implied that you shouldn't find this type of a stone axe in an Iron Age tomb separated by at least a 1,000 years. But I'm saying, you know, what's the problem? First of all, how do they know it's Stone Age? I think this article is interesting in that it does not mention any specific dating technique. I'd have to read the article again, but I don't believe any dating validation has been shown in this article.
So how would you explain the apparent presence of an artifact that ought to be in a, found in a different layer, 1,000 years difference? How would you explain the apparent discrepancy here?
Well, Todd, as we like to say at ICR, we all come to the party with our biases. Everybody's biased, and this interview with me is a biased interview. I'm biased in that I believe that man was smart from the start, just as Scripture teaches, that man did not progress slowly and gradually through time and chance and natural processes from some subhuman ancestor to the enlightened, quote-unquote, individuals that we have today. And so if we maintain that man has been smart from the start, then I don't have any problem with finding so-called Stone Age, and that is a label given by the evolutionists to this axe, a Stone Age axe in, quote-unquote, Iron Age tomb. We have to ask the question, do people use stone axes today? In this 21st century, and the answer is absolutely. There are some indigenous tribes and areas that certainly use stone axes and get along just fine. Another pertinent question might be, do people live in caves today? Again, the answer is absolutely. There are people, hey, in today's housing prices, that's not a bad idea. But they live in Australia in caves. And so just because you live in a cave doesn't make you a caveman, just like living in a garage doesn't make you a Ford or a Chevy.
And this isn't simply an isolated case of finding a stone axe in a Iron Age tomb. Apparently, this is one of several.
Right. The researcher, a guy by the name of Hemdorf, is saying there's a pattern. In other words, that they find three of these types of indications here of an allegedly old artifact in younger dwellings burial places and all, and they see that as a real conundrum, whereas we as creationists don't. I mean, I certainly salute them for doing their hard work in archaeological excavations and everything goes along with it, but I think that they're placing too much on finding a so-called primitive piece of equipment with this so-called modern burial area.
So in other words, if they were equipped with, or perhaps not encumbered by kind of an unstated evolutionary model of man's development, they may not even be surprised to find something. They might be, ah, this is curious, but they wouldn't find it to be a conundrum or a mystery.
Right. I mean, it's obviously made by man for the purpose of man, and this is our point at ICR. I hate to keep saying it over and over again, but man has been smart from the start. There is no indication whatsoever of language having evolved from some bark or grunt of some subhuman ancestor. Everything about man looks like to be very, very unique and fully formed the first time that we find man. As a matter of fact, Todd, this does remind me of an article that came out in National Geographic News, let's see, February 17th, 2010, by Heather Pringle. And they found some stone tools alleged to have been up to 130,000 years old, have been found on the island of Crete. Now, that's a real problem, finding these sophisticated tools in the island of Crete in the Mediterranean, because now the problem is man was supposed to be some kind of subhuman primate still, or something pretty close to it. It had no seafaring capability. How did man weather the storm, as it were, and get from the mainland over to Crete? That's a real problem for evolution. One evolutionist said, Curtis Runnels of Boston University, let me quote him here, he said, the idea of finding tools from this very early time period on Crete was about as believable as finding an iPod in King Tut's tomb, end quote.
So it sounds like if they're going to be honest, and one would hope that they would be honest, they perhaps need to reevaluate their model of human development and of civilization's development.
I think so. So much of the scientific evidence, a vast, vast majority of it, is coming down squarely on the side of creation science. As Dr. John Morris, my colleague and dear friend, likes to say, these are exciting times to be Bible-believing Christians. The scientific discoveries have just absolutely been phenomenal that have validated and verified God's Word, starting with the very first verse, Genesis 1:1.
Then finally, Frank, when someone reads about this and they're a bit confused, they say, "Wow, Stone Age tools in Iron Age tombs." How would you briefly explain this particular find, or actually this series of finds, to them?
Okay, as a creation scientist, and I'll be the first to stand on my roof and shout that I've had no archaeology. However, with my worldview that says man was created in God's image, to find, and again, we have to be careful of labels. They have labeled this tomb Iron Age and labeled this Stone Axe Stone
Age. We got about 35 seconds here.
Okay, and so allegedly 1,000 years separated, but I'm saying who has come up with that number, 1,000 years? I would say it's a human artifact for human purposes. And I'd let the chips fall as they may, so to speak. It's 100% human all the way around.
Frank Sherwin is a zoologist and speaker for the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. Frank, thank you very much for being our guest.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
You will find a link to the Institute for Creation Research at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, this happens all the time, but seldom happens in threes. Every once in a while, you'll see someone wandering the street dressed like Jesus. Maybe they even think they are Jesus. Or who was the famous, I think, Houston, Texas evangelist, or maybe it's Miami, Florida evangelist, who started calling himself Jesus, and his disciples believe that he is. These are isolated incidents. When we come back, it's audio open lines for you on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 16th. I want your reaction to a story from ABC News Nightline. Three men of varying different, what shall we say, stations in life, all claiming to be the Christ, to be Jesus Christ. One in the Philippines, fabulously wealthy. He claims 6 million followers. One someplace in Siberia, he's got a couple thousand living around him. And one in England with no followers, but they all claim to be Christ. I want your reaction to it during audio open lines for the remainder of this first hour of Issues, etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. Issues, etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to issues, etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The number of abortionists is slowly but steadily declining. Pro-abortion activists would like you to think it's because of violence or harassment against the abortion industry. Not true. According to the Guttmacher Institute, the research arm of Planned Parenthood, it's because of a totally different reason. This pro-abortion entity says professional disapproval keeps most OBGYNs from becoming abortionists. In-depth interviews were done with physicians who actually took abortion training with the intent to perform them, but only a fraction actually became abortionists. The reality was pressure or disdain from their colleagues, peers, family, and friends persuaded most physicians to stay out of the killing business. It shows there truly is stigma attached to killing innocent human life.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.